Bible this morning. Matthew chapter number 1. I love this book. It's new every time I read it. Every time I read it, God shows me something, and I'm so glad for the precious Word of God. I'm glad that we have the Word of God. We're so blessed to have it. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I want to show you some truths here this morning from Matthew chapter number 1 that the Lord's used to help me. And every now and then I get bogged down when I'm reading my Bible. I get bogged down in my study and I get to look into things. And we did our devotion last night from this passage of Scripture at the Christmas dinner. We did the men for the prayer meeting last Wednesday. We did our devotion on this passage of Scripture. And here this morning, we're going to try to preach out of it a little bit because I still believe there's some things that need to be seen and some things that need to be said. And I hope and I pray it could be a blessing to you. But I'm really interested this morning in the narrative that we find surrounding this man Joseph in Matthew chapter number 1. I've been very intrigued with that this week. I haven't been able to get away from it. I've been studying it. I've been looking into it. And I believe that there's some very important truths that God would have for you and I to apply to our own lives that we find in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the divinely inspired Scriptures and the power of God that's on them and with them and through them, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us to use them today to magnify you, to examine ourselves and the things in our lives that we can change, that we might further glorify you and honor you with our lives. And Lord, I pray that might we be convicted and drawn closer to thee. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love you more when we leave this place than we did when we came in. Lord, I pray that in this hour you'd help me to preach with power, with love, with a sound mind and truth and in spirit. And we'll give you all the glory for it, for you're the only one who's worthy. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, originally, when I had began to study this, I saw two or three things that I thought were interesting and I thought maybe I could preach. And like I said, it's like every time I go back to it, it's like reading it for the first time. It's like it's new again, and the Lord would show me another thing, and the Lord would show me another thing. And I was talking with Brother Larry a little bit last night after the dinner, and I told him, I said, the Lord gave me the message for this morning while I was doing the devotion last night. While I was reading the passage, God showed me two or three more things that I believe he'd have me to share this morning, and I was trying to remember them so I could get away and I could scratch them down on a pad so that I could share them with you here this morning. But it's most certainly helped me, and it's most certainly convicted me as I read this story of the miraculous conception of the Lord Jesus Christ and those involved surrounding it. This young virgin by the name of Mary in the Gospel of Luke, the Bible would tell us that she was well favored and that she was highly favored among women and that she found favor with God. No doubt she was a godly woman. She's not, as many of religions will portray her in the light today. She was a sinner. She was in need of a Savior, but no doubt God chose this woman because he favored her, because she was obedient, because she was faithful. And I believe that for that same reason, God used this man Joseph in the life of Jesus. And we find some interesting things as the narrative shifts in the Gospel of Matthew. In the first chapter, we find the genealogy of Christ leading all the way down to Joseph. And in the Gospel of Luke, it will lead all the way down to Mary. But we find that they both come from the lineage of David, as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, that everything concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ happened exactly the way that it said it was going to happen. Even this day, secular historians cannot explain how that the birth of Jesus Christ happened exactly the way that it was prophesied in the Old Testament. I've heard it said that throughout the Old Testament there are some 42 prophecies concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for all of those things to have happened the exact way that they happened, the chance of them happening is astronomical. It's a number that we cannot even name. They've given this illustration before. They said it's as if you were to stand in the state of Texas with your knees high in quarters all the way across the land of Texas, and there was one of those quarters with an X written on it, and if you were to try and find that quarter with the mark on it, that's about the chances you would have of these prophecies being fulfilled exactly the way they did. And you can believe it here this morning that it happened to a T.
Amen.
Every single thing that God prophesied, every single thing that God said came true to the T. We find the Old Testament prophecies beginning to be unveiled here in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a key character in this story, this man Joseph, that we find. And we find the genealogies describe how this happened and how it lined up and how it came down to his lineage, how that he would be entrusted as the earthly father of Christ, knowing that God, his heavenly father, is where he was from.
Amen.
That he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. I'm interested in this man Joseph this morning, and I'm interested in how the Bible calls him a just man. See, when we come to this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 1 and we begin reading in verse number 18, we find it's important to understand the context that this is a man and a woman engaged in what we would call a betrothal period. It is much like what we would call today in our culture an engagement. They were contracted to be married. They had agreed to be married, but they had not yet been wed. They had not yet been joined in holy matrimony. And so it's important to understand that this betrothal period was a time before the marriage where the couple, they were contracted to be married, much like engagement today. And there's some very interesting things when you think of that aspect as you come into the 18th verse and into the 19th verse. The Bible says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child." She was found with child. So here, for Joseph, what we have, to say the least, is a problematic situation. We have somewhat of a problem for Joseph. Joseph is espoused to Mary. Joseph is in this betrothal period with Mary, but Joseph has not yet known Mary. They have not yet joined themselves in matrimony. And so now Mary is with child, conceived of the Holy Ghost. And we know from what we've read that Joseph is not aware of this yet. And I'm not sure that Mary herself was aware of this yet in Matthew chapter number 1. But I do know this, that Joseph had a problem on his hands. This young virgin, this fair lady, this Mary, was with child. And I want us to look at just a few things before we go a little bit further down into the text. I'll give you five or six things and I'll let you go home. I promise I won't preach very long. But I want to share with you some things about this man Joseph. There's some things that I noticed concerning his character. I noticed first and foremost a special compassion. A special compassion. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Which is to say, Joseph did not have a mind to embarrass her, to make a public example of her, to make a big to-do of this. But Joseph, throughout the Bible, what you read, Joseph no doubt was a devout Jewish man. No doubt he was an upright man. And if you go to the Scriptures of Moses and you go back into the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 22, we know that when the Bible talks about playing the harlot, that is to say adultery, That is to say, doing things, extramarital affairs, so to say. We know that those were punishable in the Old Testament according to the law by death, and that they were to be made a public example of if it was the woman that committed this sin against the husband. But they were also given alternative to not only that would they could be stoned or they could be made a public example, but they could be put away privately and let go. They could be set apart. They could be separated. And the Bible says, and I find it interesting here this morning, this special compassion that Joseph had, because according to the law, Joseph could have made a public example out of Mary, and he could have done so justly. Or should I rather say it this way? He could have done so and been justified. He very well could have done these according to the letter of the law, but that's not what Joseph chose to do. And I find that interesting here this morning, because in this terminology, in this phrase that we find that Joseph was a just man, we're not talking about a man who stood to the letter of the law. We're not talking about a man who said, all right, throw the book at her. Oftentimes when we think of just and we think of upright, we think of someone who's to the letter of the law. We think of someone who's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's oftentimes what we assume, what we picture in our mind, what we think of. But what we find in the Scriptures is exactly the opposite. We find a man who showed compassion and mercy, and because of that, the Bible says that he is a just man. The compassion makes the difference in this story. And I want you to understand this from the perspective of Joseph that we find. I've been trying to put myself in his shoes. No doubt Joseph was upset. No doubt Joseph had the right to be upset. Joseph finds this young lady, and my goodness, if she found favor with God, how much more should she find favor with man? No doubt Joseph felt like he was the luckiest man in Israel. Joseph found like he'd found his dream girl. Joseph felt like he found the best catch in all of Israel. And here we find this young virgin, this fair lady, this lady favored with God, and now she seems to have committed this sin against God in the sight of Joseph, against Joseph. And he is so heartbroken. He's so confused. He's so bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. And in Joseph's anger, he could have acted out and said, you know what? Stone her. You know what? She's lying to me. She's not who she said she was. She's played the harlot. She's guilty. Throw the book at her. But the Bible says that Joseph made that decision to put her away privily. So that compassion makes a difference in this story here. And the Bible tells us, according to the Epistle of Jude, that those who have compassion will make a difference. Amen. So if the Bible says, and of some having compassion making a difference, then that means to you and I that if we do not have compassion, if we do not display compassion, if we do not have that mercy, if we do not have that forgiveness, the Bible says, to whom will showeth mercy, to whom mercy will be shown. If we don't have that mercy, if we don't have that love, if we don't have that compassion, we ain't going to make a difference. Amen. We're just going to be like every other one, trying to hold to the letter of the law. Yep. Just trying to do things this way and that way, the way that society might say to have it done. But that compassion and that mercy, that's what sets you and I apart as Christians. That forgiveness is what sets you and I apart as Christians. We talked about it a few weeks ago, how important a testimony of forgiveness is. We see a special compassion in this passage of Scripture. But not only do we see a special compassion, and I thought this was interesting, in verse number 20, we see a special character. A special character. Joseph was a man of integrity. Joseph was a man who really stuck to what he believed in, and what I believe he was a man who lived his word, who practiced what he preached. And the Bible says this in verse number 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Hold on just a minute. Joseph took some time to think on these things. Amen. Joseph took some time, I believe, to meditate on the law of the Lord and to pray and to inquire of the Lord as to how He would have him to handle this situation. The wise man is always going to think before he acts. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's going to take some time. He's going to think about it. I imagine that as this would happen to Joseph, and Joseph is thinking, why is this happening to me? Why would Mary do this? Why am I in this situation? He recalls to his mind the psalm that so many a times from a young boy into the man he is today, he sang in the temple, how the Bible would say the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Joseph didn't get hot-headed. Joseph decided he was going to take his time. He decided he was going to be patient. And it's interesting to me that the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I don't believe they're talking about daydreaming here. I believe that Joseph went to bed on it. Amen? You ever hear people use this terminology? You ever hear people use this phrase? They say, well, I'm going to sleep on it. They say, oftentimes it's when you're faced with a big decision. It's either you have to choose one thing or the other, and you tell the person, you say, can I have a night to sleep on it? Can I have a time to think on it? And the reason that we do that is because oftentimes when we are faced with a hard decision that might arise some kind of an emotional reaction in our hearts, we're oftentimes inclined to make irrational decisions. We're oftentimes inclined to make impulsive decisions. And no doubt Joseph is in distress. No doubt he's in heartache. No doubt if he's like you and I, he's probably a little bit upset. He's probably a little bit angry. But he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sleep on it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to jump to any conclusion. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to jump right in and make any kind of decision. He said, I'm going to sleep on it. Oftentimes that'll keep us from making those impulsive decisions. Amen. Preacher always told me, he said two times in the pastor, he said, don't ever try and make a decision. He said, is when you're down in the valley and when you're up on the mountaintop. He said, because your heart will get the best of you. See, impulsive decisions are wrong, and don't listen to me now. Don't ever trust yourself to make an impulsive decision. Don't ever trust yourself to make a quick decision. You say, well, preacher, I know the Bible like the back of my hand, and I know this and that, and I like to think that I could trust myself to make quick decisions. That's exactly what leads you down the wrong path. Amen. The Bible tells us our nature is to sin, that our heart are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know them? And if you and I just fly off the handle and make impulsive decisions, oftentimes we're going to do the wrong things. Joseph said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to meditate on these things. I'm going to pray on these things, and I'm going to sleep on it. And because Joseph was patient, he got a visit. The angel of the Lord visited Joseph in a dream, and he said this, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I want you to think for just a moment. What would have happened if Joseph hadn't waited? What would have happened if Joseph would have made some sort of decision without hearing from God? If he'd have never gone to sleep that night, if he'd have never decided to sleep on it, if he'd have just made that impulsive decision just like that, Joseph would have missed out on the Word of God. Joseph, I believe, would have missed out on the will of God for his life. You know who God's looking for? You know who God is going to trust? Those who wait upon Him. God chose a just man that He could trust. And because we see this compassion and because we see this character, what we see is not only those things, but a special commission as well. The Bible says in verse number 21 this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, listen, thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And it was customary in these Hebrew families and in these cultures that the husband of the family, the head of the home, would name the children. He would pray. He felt he would have peace in his heart about the name that God would give him, and they would name this child. And God entrusted Joseph with this name to crown him Jesus, to call him Lord, to say that he would save his people from their sins. God trusted Joseph with this because he proved himself before. Because he proved that he was long-suffering, because he proved that he was patient, because he proved that he had compassion, because he proved to God that he was the man for the job. There was a special commission that we find. I believe it's pretty safe to say that this is the most important baby naming of all the of all time. And God, the Father in heaven, trusted this earthly man, Joseph, with that task. He said, he sent that angel, Gabriel, and that angel came to Joseph and he said, when the baby's born, I want you to call him Jesus, for he shall save their people from their sins. If you were there at the Christmas dinner last night, we explained a little bit about that name, Jesus, how that it's the Greek New Testament form of the Old Testament name Joshua in the Bible itself, or the name itself says Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. That was his name, Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. God told Joseph, he says, I have a job for you. He said, preacher, I want God to use me. I want God to do something with me. I want God. I want my life to count for something. I don't want to get to heaven and have nothing to offer God. Prove yourself to God. Live the way that God would have you to live. Show God you mean business. He just might give you a task. Amen. We see a special character and we see a special compassion. We find a special commission. And in the following verse, we see a special connection. The Bible says this in verse number 22. Listen to me now. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And here again, I'd like for you today to put yourself in the shoes of Joseph, a young Jewish man who from the time he can remember to the time we find right here in Matthew's gospel in chapter number 1, Matthew has learned about this Messiah. Matthew has learned about this Emmanuel. Matthew has been taught about this great conqueror and this deliverer of Israel, and this angel is echoing him to the words that the prophet Isaiah would say in the 7th chapter. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to be weary, men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah in chapter number 9 would say this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see a special connection here. Joseph has been reading this story. Joseph has been listening to this doctrine. He's been hearing this taught his entire life. And now you know what God has done for Joseph, because Joseph was the man he was. He says, I'm going to let you in on this. Amen. He says, I'm going to let you be a part of this. He says, I'm going to let you have your hand in this. Listen to me tonight, friend. If you're in here and you've had the privilege of doing anything for God, you ought to thank God in heaven above that He would think that He would count you faithful, what Paul would say, to put you into the ministry, to allow you to have anything to do for His glory, because there's not a one of us in here, myself included, that deserve that kind of privilege. There is a heavenly connection. We read in the Bible of the New Testament church, and we read in the book of Acts, and we read about how that Paul would go on and preach and people would be saved and people would be converted and lives would be changed and homes would be brought together. And oftentimes we just discount them as stories and we say, well, God can't do what He did in the Bible today, what He did back then. But I tell you here today, friend, God has a heavenly connection. You and I are connected to God through the Spirit of God and through the Son of God and through the Scriptures, and you and I can have a part in the work and the will of God. There's a heavenly connection there. I can't even imagine the feeling that overcame Joseph when God told him, when God gave him those scriptures, when God referenced that's found in Isaiah chapter number 7 right there, and the words of the prophet resonated in his heart, and he thought to himself, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for, and I get to be a part of it. I can't imagine how excited Joseph was. Amen. There was a heavenly connection, and because there was a heavenly connection, there was a heavenly conception, a special conception. Listen to me. I don't want to sit by and stand idle and let God pass me by. I want to be part of that connection. I want to be part of the work of God. I want to be part of what God is doing in His church. Amen? Amen. a special connection, a special conception. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Listen to me this morning, friend. There's many a text critics. There's many a people out there who say, well, they kind of got that wrong in the King James. It didn't necessarily mean a virgin. What it meant was a young woman or a good woman or a moral woman. And though Mary was, I believe, a good woman and a young woman, a good woman, a moral woman, that's not what made Jesus God.
Amen.
What made Jesus God is the fact that He was delivered to you and I through this miraculous conception that we find in the Scriptures. Mary had not known a man. Mary was pure, undefiled before God. And God chose that vessel just as He said He would in the book of Isaiah to perform this miracle, to bring this son into the world. And the Bible tells us that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There was a man some years ago. He was a medical doctor and he made a profession of Christ. He was converted. He got saved. His name was M.R. Dehaan, and he used that medical practice that he had been a part of for so long, and he used that to give him a biblical, to give him a medical perspective of the things that we find in the Bible. And he wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood. His name was M.R. Dehaan, and he says some interesting things in that book if you read him. He talks about the miracle of the female body. He talks about how a woman's body can rear a child and carry a child for 9 months and nourish it and take care of it. He says it's miraculous the way that God designed it, and he gets a little bit more specific, and he talks about what we refer to as the umbilical cord. That's that cord that connects that mother to that baby. It runs down to where the baby's belly button is. We've all seen it. We know of it. They take the baby, they cut the umbilical cord when it's born. That's how they do it. But that umbilical cord is so important during the term of that pregnancy, because that umbilical cord is where that baby gets everything that it needs from that mother. All of its food, all of its nutrients, all of its vitamins, all of its nourishment, everything that child needs to survive, it gets through that umbilical cord. But Dr. Dehaan made an interesting statement in his book. He said, there's one thing that is so vital, so important to human life that is not found in the umbilical cord. And he said, that's blood. Blood never passes through the umbilical cord. Just about everything else you would need comes through the umbilical cord. See, a kid comes from two chromosomes, one from the father and one from the mother. And the father's chromosome is the one that contributes that baby's ability to make that blood and determines that blood type. And the reason I say all that is to say this. When our Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, hung on Calvary's cross, it was not the blood of Joseph that fell from the cross. It was not the blood of Mary that fell from the cross. It was not the blood of just a rabbi or a good teacher or another man or some sort of moral precept, but it was the blood of God Himself, Heaven's only begotten Son, the Lamb of God. It was the blood of the Father. It was the blood of the Creator God of the universe that fell from Calvary's cross. And without the virgin birth here this morning, Jesus isn't God. Jesus is just another man on the cross without that virgin birth. That's why it's so important that we stand for the fundamental principles of the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we fight for things like the virgin birth and the deity of Christ and these things that are so central and so precious to the doctrine of the New Testament church, because without that conception, we don't have any salvation.
Amen.
A special conception. And last but not least, I'll share this with you. A special confession. Now remember now, the narrative is still surrounding Joseph in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse 24. And Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. Joseph called his name Jesus. You remember at Caesarea Philippi, it's oftentimes counted as the first profession of Christ, where Christ and his disciples around that fire are gathered And Jesus questions him and says, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some of the disciples, they say, "Well, some say you're Elijah. And some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet of old. Some say you're resurrected from the dead. Some say this and some say that." And he says, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. You know what I believe Joseph was doing right here in Matthew chapter number 1? When that baby was born, when he looked at that baby for the first time, and they named that baby and they dedicated him to God right there, he said, "This is Him. This is the Savior. This is salvation. This is who's going to deliver Israel. This is who's going to deliver the people of God. This is who's going to save the world from their sins." And upon that confession, upon that heavenly truth, you and I have what we have here today in the New Testament church. You and I have salvation. You and I have the free grace of God through that gift that was given so many years ago. And that heavenly confession is still true today.
Amen.
Have you professed Him? Have you made that confession? You might use the name of Jesus just like everybody else. Listen to me. That's the most abused name in the world today.
Amen.
And you can fly that flag and wave that banner and say that name all you want. But if you've never confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and accepted that He is the Savior, that He is that Emmanuel, that God with us, that wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that He will rule and reign on the throne of David. If you don't believe that Jesus is God here this morning and that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, if you've never believed that in your heart and you've never made that confession, I beg you to today. Because that right there is what it's all about.
Amen.
Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed, not one person looking around but me. I wonder if there's some of us in here this morning, and maybe we need to be a little bit more like Joseph. Maybe we need to be a little bit slower to anger and slower to wrath. Maybe we need to be a little bit more patient. Maybe we need to be a little bit more inclined to follow the Spirit of God. Folks who come to the altar this morning, I invite you to come. Maybe you're in here this morning and you'd be honest. You say, "Preacher, I don't know for certain if I died, I'm going to heaven." Hey, listen to me. We had somebody get saved last night. We had somebody make that very confession we were talking about. Bowed their head humbly, accepted Christ by faith, confessed Him as Lord, and was saved by the grace of God. If that's you in here this morning and you need saved, and you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I die where I'll spend eternity." If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. Say, I just don't know that I've ever been saved. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I think that confession is something I need to make." The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No exceptions. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever your past might be, here this morning, Christ will save you. Christ will give you a new life. Christ will make you a new creature. Christ will change you if you'll confess Him as Lord.